Take it from me, you guys are not going to want to miss the party of the summer. It's Rocklahoma, it's back in Pryor, Labor Day weekend, September 1st through 3rd, and it's going to feature acts like Warrant, LA Guns, Bullet Boys, Godsmack, Chevelle, Daughtry, Skid Row, Limp Bizkit, Bush, Theory of a Dead Man, Asking Alexandria, Kix, Pantera, Rob Zombie, Corey Taylor, and many, many more. Go to rocklahoma.com right now to get your weekend passes and keep listening to On the Road to Rock with me, Clint Switzer, to learn how you can win two weekend passes for the whole weekend of Rocklahoma. Stay tuned.
What's up, everybody? It's John Bush from Armored Saints sitting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You are on the road to rock.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, leading you down the highway to hell, Clint Switzer.
Officially back from what was an absolute whirlwind at Rocklahoma 2023. Thanks for everyone that participated and checked out our Best of Rocklahoma episode, which aired early this week. You know, usually this show drops on Fridays. That's when you get on the road to rock each and every week. But we had this special show. We had Rocklahoma. I was there for the weekend. And if you heard that Best of episode, it was star-studded, to say the least, as we had Danny from Asking Alexandria on, a bucket list interview with none other than Gavin Rossdale from Bush. I even got Gwar'd by Jim Zach DeGuscia from Gwar. Got to meet the guys from Crobot, Bat Allison, and even an exclusive interview with the entire band Kix as they played their third to final show ever at the Roadhouse stage at Rocklahoma. What a weekend it was. So just getting back into the swing of things to get back on the regularly scheduled programming here. And I thank everybody for being a part of everything we do here at On the Road to Rock. It has been an exceptional summer. But after Labor Day, when football season starts, I always say that sort of marks the end of the summer days as we are now into the fall months. I know fall doesn't officially start till September 21st. I know you're all still out there enjoying live music. Aerosmith's farewell tour has started. Metallica's on tour right now. It never ends. We know that. But on this show, your money stays and plays with us as always, bringing on the great guests. And that's going to continue right here as none other than Todd Dammit Kearns is going to be rejoining the show. It's been, well, just about 8 months. I think Todd was on here back in January of 2023 to talk about his Heroes and Monsters project, and we're going to get into that. But since then, Todd has announced a project for Frontiers called Blackbird Angels with Tracy Guns from LA Guns. And as of today, September 8th, via Frontiers, they are releasing their debut album, Sol Sorte. So be sure to go check it out. It is straight ahead, edgy rock and roll, just like you would expect from this collaboration. The mega powers exploding, if you will, of Todd Kearns and Tracy Guns. What a pairing it is. These two have released what I believe is a tremendous album. And Todd Kearns continues to be one of those guys that's just out there doing a lot of projects. We talked about Heroes and Monsters. He does the band Took. He also plays guitar and sings with Bruce Kulick in his band when they do a lot of the 80s Kiss songs or Revenge Era Kiss. Todd Kearns is going to be there for Kiss Cancer's Ask Goodbye, which is a festival that's kind of brought to you by the people that did Creatures Fest, which is a lot of Kiss-related material. Ace Frehley's going to be there, and Bruce Kulick's going to be there in Sarasota, Florida, in October, playing Kiss Alive 3 in its entirety. And Todd Kearns is sort of the rhythm guitarist and singer on that. He plays bass for Slash's Snake Pit. We're going to get into all that and much more right here as Todd Dammit Kearns makes his second appearance on the podcast in the year 2023, and we're grateful to have it. And next week, we're going to be joined by Ronnie Romero, the singer who's been singing with Michael Schenker, with Rainbow, And now he's getting ready to release an album via Frontiers, and one of the best singers in rock and roll, man. I was skeptical when I went and saw Michael Schenker, Armored Saint, and Wasp last November in Tulsa. But Ronnie Romero pulled off those MSG songs in such a powerful way that it really was an eye-opener about what a great singer he is. So much coming up here on The Road to Rock does not stop just because the summer's coming to an end. Without further ado, let's take you to this week's interview. It is with none other than Todd Dammit Kearns talking about Blackbird Angels. It's great to have you back on The Road to Rock. I know it hasn't been all that long. But when all your new projects come up, I get my name right in the hat to have you back on. Well, I appreciate you being willing to be a frequent visitor and come back again. Sometimes we lose people, you know.
The pleasure's all mine. I know what you mean. It's like, yeah, you got to kind of jump on these things because we're losing people. So,
that is a sobering thought. Aerosmith's farewell tour is about to start. Kiss is going to end theirs, maybe, in December.
But somehow Ringo Starr is going on the road, so go figure.
I think as long as that happens, there's hope that our heroes and that this music will live forever. We already know that's the case. So, Todd,
absolutely.
How's it been going? Did you just get back from playing some shows in Alaska? Did I see that?
Yeah, I did. I did a whole run in Europe with Heroes and Monsters, the project I have with Will Hunt from Evanescence and Steph Burns from Alice Cooper and a bunch of other stuff. Then I came home and me and some friends went up to Alaska, Blas Elias from Slaughter and Doc Ellis and Jimmy Romero. And we went up and played a couple shows up there. And then back here, I did the Sin City Sinners guys, we did a reunion show this past weekend. And it's just, you know, I like to keep working and keep playing and keep doing stuff. So it's sort of nonstop. Yeah.
Yeah. No, rest for the wicked. What was I was just in Alaska last summer for the first time. Absolutely.
Where'd you go?
In Alaska. So like Denali and some of the coastal places. Where were you at? Where did you play?
Specifically, I usually go to Juneau. A friend of ours is up there. We went to a place called Hoonah.
Yeah.
So we only played a couple. Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, we really enjoyed the entire thing. They really take great care of you, and it's such a beautiful experience. I mean, being Canadian, a lot of it's very familiar. I grew up in that kind of hang, you know what I mean? But not very coastal though, but we did have a lot of lakes. It's amazing up there. I think everybody should check it out.
So what's your situation right now with Raiding the Rock Vault, one of my favorite shows in Vegas?
I'm always sort of, if I'm in Vegas, I'm there. I'm kind of like, I treat it as sort of like, as my friend calls it, I treat it like the dojo. I go down there and keep in shape. And, you know, if I'm here and they'll have me, I'll go down and rock with them. You know, they're really great people and really great friends. Blas Elias is in it. Rowan Robertson from Dio and a bunch of great people who are just really great friends and put on a great show. And it's so much fun. And like I say, it keeps me sharp. I mean, I'm one of those guys that I like to be kind of challenging myself on a regular basis. It's, I'm also one of those people who could be very convinced to just sit on the couch. So,
so me too, which careful. Is why I'm doing that exact thing right now. That's why I do what I do and you do what you do, Todd. There's always a cutoff for people like us, because people that are in my position love all the music just as much as you do. There just becomes a time where it's like, oh, yep, can't do that. Can't play that. Oh, this doesn't work. Okay, well, on to something else. I guess I'll talk about it. Those that can't do, talk. And that's right.
I'm sort of the other side, but I'm still doing it. And I still talk about it. And it's still kind of my, you know, my obsession and the reason I get up and the reason I go to bed, I guess, you know, it's like the whole thing is rock and roll all the way, you know?
Well, as a kid growing up in Saskatchewan and Canada, to see where you've come, the journey, this career, to Las Vegas, to Sin City Sinners, to Raiding the Rock Vault, to Took, to Bruce Kulick, to Slashes, to Slash. When you're growing up there, I mean, are you someone that knew at some point that like this 9-to-5 job, like get married out of high school, go do all that? Did you realize that wasn't for you and you set off on this path, or was it like, no, it just kind of fell that way?
It's a bit of both, because I think that, you know, I was like, you know, 14, 15 years old playing in a band, and that band sort of, you know, I was young, and it was sort of like, rather than bagging groceries or, you know, whatever kids did for high school jobs, I was playing in high school dances. You know, back then they would have live bands, and we would drive out to, you know, one place on Friday and one place on Saturday and come home and do it every weekend. And I always had money in my pocket from doing that, you know, and I think that, you know, I just sort of realized, oh, this is a thing, I can do this. And it was sort of like the list of you know, options to me just ended there. I was like, well, this is what I'm going to do. I don't really have any sort of backup plan at all. And I never really ever have. And so to me, I just kept following that path. It hit a couple dead ends along the way, or what felt like dead ends that turned into other things. But that's the nature of life. You know, it's just sort of, I just didn't really have any other interests. I just didn't really have any other, it's funny, I would fall into some kind of a day job just to kind of make life work, you know, to pay bills and still play music. And people would be like, you know, if you took this course, you could really did it, you know, advance at this job. And I was like, dude, I'm only here to pay the rent, and I'm getting the hell out of here as soon as, and, you know, and then an opportunity would come out and I'd be gone, you know. And, but I understand, because along the way, when I was a kid, I was like playing in bands and traveling around and not making a lot of money and barely making, I never even had a home. I would just kind of live on the road, come back, crash on couches, and, you know, figure out where, you know, what I got to do, and just can't wait to get back on the road. And, but other guys would drop off. They would be like, they'd fall in love, or they'd have a
damn that.
Yeah. Or school or a job or whatever. And I was one of those people that was going, are you crazy? This is the greatest thing ever, you know? And, just never did. And I just think that the fact that I just never fell off of it is why I'm still doing this.
Well,
maybe it's almost pathetic.
No, quite the opposite, actually. It's funny because John Corabi was on a couple weeks ago, and he talked about, you know, his path, and that later on in life, in between bands, he just decided he wanted to get his trucker's license, CDL, and like drive a truck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Yeah, why the hell did you do? I mean, but, you know, like, he wanted to.
He's such a
try
character.
This.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I've known a lot of people who've done crazy things like that, who've gone off and, you know, get a pilot's license or, you know, whatever, like they'll go off and do some kind of challenge. I guess most of my interests are all in this. And I think that it's weird to say, because I, you know, people have always, you know, we should do this, or you want to go do that or whatever. And it's always kind of like, no, I'd rather stay here and play guitar, or rather go do shows or make music or go to the studio or whatever. To me, that was always where my interests lie. And I guess the fact that nothing really distracted me from that, other than, you know, normal things in life, I guess that's why I just kept doing it.
Well, we got to talk about the latest project. It is Blackbird Angels. The new album comes out September 8th. It's coming up. And I hate to be in this position. My mom was an English teacher. I'm great at pronunciation and spelling. Sol Sorte? Am I saying that right?
That's, you know, honestly, I've been meaning to chase this down myself, because it was pitched to me by Tracy a long time ago. Tracy lives, you know, splits his time between LA and Denmark.
Right.
So it's a Danish word for blackbird. And I'm not sure if it's Sol Sort or Sol Sorte or Sol Sorty. I don't know. So I'll have to ask Tracy. He's
good. I'm rarely,
he's the multicultural one.
Right. Exactly.
Me too. You think I should know how to pronounce the goddamn album, but I will chase that down. You're about the third guy to ask me that. I'm like, you know what? I need to know that.
We'll go with that. We'll go with what we know and what we have in front of us here. And the truth of it is, you know, I just got the full thing. So I've got like kind of one run through of it, and I'm such a fan. I think this, you know, melding of you and Tracy Guns, it's natural. It seems like there's a lot of chemistry there. Tracy's a great guy, great guitarist. And this thing, to me, has a lot of 70s rock kind of written all over it. I know Tracy is of that ilk. I know you are as well. I hear like a lot of some certain songs, I hear a lot of Cheap Trick in, a lot of Aerosmith. Is that kind of your guys' influences coming out? And do you agree that there's kind of a 70s vibe to this?
It was actually purposeful, for sure. Like, the initial conversation was like, you know, we saw our North Star was Led Zeppelin and Bad Company and Humble Pie, and, you know, and then all the groups you mentioned they inevitably just sort of filter through. It's just sort of the nature of what you do. So the record itself was actually on purpose, kind of like, let's make a straight up rock record, like, right. Classic, rock record. I mean, it sort of diverts every now and then. A song like Only Everything is a little different, has yep. almost like a punk rock kind of vibe to it, or somebody said like an LA Guns vibe. I thought, well, that's a real stretch. I go,
yeah,
how'd we land in that territory? But I think that, it's always good to have a manifesto of like, we're going to make a 70s rock record. And we went out to do that. And in sitting down to create it, nothing was really discarded. It was just kind of like everything that kind of came up just felt like, as you do this kind of thing, you end up writing X amount of songs and you go, well, that's a record right there. Boom, done. Yeah.
Oh, it's great. And I'll tell you, on my first run through, my initial run through, and that if you're like a music geek like me, that listening to something once doesn't quite tell the tale, but I'm a huge fan of the song Mine All Mine. That's like my song right now. And that's the second track on the album. And that one's like very straight ahead, very much like you get those Todd Kern signature vocals, the great guitar stuff. So tell me about that song. What was kind of the process of that one? And is that one of your favorites as well?
Absolutely. That's the first one we did together, actually, was Mine All Mine. Mine All Mine. It was
I love in parentheses. Yeah, yeah. It's like a country song.
Yeah, exactly. It's always that sort of like, I don't know. It always seems mildly pretentious, but I always love that kind of like,
unless it's like, you make me in parentheses rock hard, then it's not quite as pretentious. Right?
Oh, now you just took it up a notch. I love that. It definitely that was the sort of like, we're going to try and make a Led Zeppelin record. So there's a bit of that bit of slide guitar and this kind of falling vocal that gives this sort of
right.
The song itself doesn't feel really super Zeppelin-y in itself, but there are elements of it. And I think that was kind of enough to kind of, like I say, steer the ship towards that goal. And the song is just sort of, it came together really fast. That's the one thing about this record is there was not a lot of beard stroking and, let's go have a cup of tea and talk about it. It was just kind of fast and furious and hot and heavy and out it came, it just sort of each song just kind of happened real fast. And that's a good example of it. I Tracy really leans toward that one as well. He wanted that to be a single. So that I'm sure it'll end up being a single at some point, but it's, it feels really unique in and of itself, I think. And that's the fact that you've kind of like, because sometimes when you get these kind of like these projects, it's kind of like somebody took, it's like peanut butter and chocolate and you put them together. Isn't it delicious? But then sometimes it's like peanut butter and barbecue sauce and you go, well, I like barbecue sauce and I like peanut butter. I don't know if I like them together, but
sure.
In this instance, I think we're definitely like, we've the winning combination of these ideas of, his motivation and my motivations were very much sort of in tune with where we landed on this for sure.
Well, in the press release, you talked about that this was a cathartic experience for you. It's you're quoted as saying it became some of the your favorite music that you've ever been a part of. It's real, raw, and it rocks. So some of the favorite music you've ever been a part of, that says a lot. Why is that? Why do you feel like that's the case?
I think because it was just so organic and so natural. Like there wasn't what I was just talking about, there wasn't a lot. And I've been involved in, I've been involved in songs that came together like that. And I've been involved in songs or albums that took a lot of hard, stressful work. And they're both rewarding in their own way. You know what I mean? Both processes are rewarding in their own way. But there was something about this project where it was kind of like Tracy, ever since the first time I played with Tracy, he was always very complimentary about what I do. And it's interesting because people know me as a bass player or, the background vocalist or whatever. So being sort of like respected as a vocalist from somebody like Tracy, who is somebody I admire, and I've always admired everything he's done. And it's sort of like, it was a real kind of tip of the cap to have someone like him say, would you like to sing on this? I would like to put the trust of you writing melodies and lyrics and singing on this recording it said a lot. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, of course. And then every time I handed in I'd sit in the studio here and record a vocal and send it off. And and think, you know, he very well, it could have been just like, that was terrible. This is never going to work. Just throw it out. But it just kept kind of going, that was great. Let's do another one and another one and another one. And that, it was just such a satisfying experience. It's kind of like, you know, it just felt natural. It felt fun and it felt real. You know what I mean? And I think the songs all turned out to be the one thing, you know, I always kind of giggle about is how, you know, the only way to really be immortal is to have this music that just kind of lives on, you know, and I, there's a weird thing that I say once in a while where I kind of feel like, you know, I'm not one of those people who's had like this massive, gigantic solo hit and, you know, went on to make gazillions of dollars because of it. But I always loved the idea that your songs can be found in 20 years from now. You know what I mean? Like somebody could just find or cover it or whatever. And that's kind of the beauty of music, is it just kind of lives on. Like I'll be dead and gone and someone will find It's Not You, It's Me or some song that I've done in the past and be like, hey, this is a cool song. Let's do it, you know, whatever. And I'll be dead and gone and won't know about it. But it's kind of the beauty of that. And having the Blackbird Angels album now on the top of the pile of all this work I've done is sort of like, is another beautiful thing that, you know, someone's going to walk up to me. It's the weirdest thing when people walk up to me and they'll say the most random recording that I've done. This is my favorite thing you've ever done. And I'll be like, wow, thank you. You know? And, you know, and someday someone's going to walk up to me with that Blackbird Angels record and have me sign it, and it'll be important to them. And that means everything, you know?
Well, Frontiers has done such a tremendous job. We've talked about them before, putting together projects. And like you said, sometimes it's peanut butter and jelly. Sometimes it's peanut butter and barbecue sauce. So I got first question, who is involved in more Frontiers projects, you or Jeff Pilson? And the answer is Jeff Pilson, because nobody can ever talk. It's like, it's a bear to have Jeff Pilson on the podcast. We just had him on last month. He started a farewell tour with Foreigner, one of the biggest, you know, most reliable classic rock acts. They're still going.
Absolutely.
Today. And then four or five projects. It's like, I don't know where to start. Jeff, just like, tell us everything you know about what's coming up. And he has it down.
And then you got to bring up Dawkin, because that was the biggest.
Yeah, then it's like, oh, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, and I might play some shows with Dawkin next year, too. And it's like, oh, well, we got Black Swan. It's like, well, I've joined Revolution Saints because, you know, Jack Blades couldn't do this record. I'm like, oh, Jeff, like, oh, my God. Like,
I know. Well, Jeff's biggest coup is being such a talented producer and songwriter and all that kind of stuff too. So on top of everything else about Jeff, because I saw Jeff when I was about 14 opening for Kiss, and he was the one to me that stood out in Dawkin, maybe because I have bass player leanings.
Sure.
But I remember just thinking, like, there was something about, like, George came out and just kind of plants this total, like, guitar stance, right? You know, he just does his thing, and Don is kind of like a sort of a not a real kind of emotive
right
man. He sort of just has this vibe. And then over, you know, on stage right, there's this bass player going bananas. He would take his bass off and bang on it and put it on. He had bass pedals that he would step on. He had a keyboard. And I was like, and he was singing like a bird, all these harmonies. And I was like, who's that guy? That guy's, to me, that guy's the star. You know what I mean? But you know, the funny thing about both Heroes and Monsters and Blackbird Angels is that neither of those were put together in that sort of classic Frontiers way. I was approached by, you know, I was approached by Will Hunt and Steph Burns for Heroes and Monsters more as like, would you be up for this kind of thing? We want to make a record. I don't know if they'd initially had landed it at Frontiers or what, but that was sort of like, yeah, of course. And then the same with Tracy. Tracy just came to me, and Tracy has his own relationship with them. I mean, he does the stuff with Michael Sweet and other things like that as well. So Tracy has Tracy's a, you know, a very productive individual. So, I mean, this is yet another thing that he's managed to squeeze out. But, you know, I think we've done really, it's really a great piece. And to Frontier's credit, you know, that's the weird thing about the music industry these days is, so many people are not making new music. You know, the Aerosmiths right. and Kiss and all my favorite bands stopped making new music years ago, you know? So it becomes harder and harder to be motivated to make music because no one knows quite what to do with it. I mean, bands like Cheap Trick or Paul McCartney or any of those people who they clearly make music because they just love creating and love making music. And they're not as freaked out about, like, I don't know, like just the sort of like revenue stream of your product. I mean, it's a different game entirely. Back in the 70s, you'd make records and you'd go out and support that record.
Right.
Now it's like the record is just kind of like an excuse to go on the road. And usually people are going like, you know, play I Want You to Want Me or whatever. We don't need to hear any of the new music, you know. But if you give it a chance, bands like LA Guns even now as sort of a legendary act. Their new music is in my opinion, is as strong as ever, really. I think the newer records are bizarrely, in my opinion, as strong as anything they put out back in the day. So I think creating music is really important. And I think I'm very grateful that this all kind of came at me because the thing I love to do the most is write and create music. And when you sort of find yourself, you know, in an industry that's sort of a bit challenged in that department, it's very easy to just kind of quietly be playing bass in the background of something and then suddenly be 75 years old and realize, oh, I didn't write any, oh, I forgot to write songs again. so now it's like, you know, having Toque, you know, which we really kind of leaned into writing music a lot. So we have a new single coming pretty soon too. And then having Blackbird Angels and then having Heroes and Monsters. So actually being like really super creative and really super productive, you know, to me is kind of like, hey man, I'm game. Like, yeah, I want to keep doing this for as long as I can.
Well, in the middle of all this, you're going to be in Sarasota, Florida, October 13th and 14th. This is from those that brought you Creatures Fest. This is Kiss Cancer Goodbye 2.
Yes.
And Sarasota, Florida, this is like kind of like Creatures Fest, which I think was in May of 2022. And it's going to be you, Bruce, you guys are going to do like the entire Alive 3 album. Ace Frehley is going to be there. Basically, it's a Creatures Fest without Vinnie Vincent. So it's cheaper and you'll be able to get in for a lot more affordable price because there's no Vinnie Vincent.
Yeah, I mean
that's my Vinnie Vincent joke for the day. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. But the fascinating thing was, I remember people like, I was there. I watched the whole Vinnie Vincent thing, and people were like, it was just this sort of universal experience with all these people who were kind of like not sure what they just experienced, not sure if they liked what they just experienced. It was very unconventional because it was like Vinnie started that whole thing just shredding for about 20 minutes,
right?
And then they went into some songs. And it was kind of like to a backing track or something. And then I remember walking out of there going like, yeah, but if it wasn't crazy, I think I'd be disappointed.
True. That's a good point.
If it wasn't this bizarre story of like me just explaining that to you just now, yes, sounds nuts, but it's like, that's what it was. And he was like, we were standing outside getting ready to go in and he was already shredding. Like the doors are closed and we're like, is he shredding in there? And he was just shredding away, doors open, we all come in and he'd probably already been shredding for 15 minutes and then just we all walked up there and he just shredded for 20-25 minutes or something, and then some songs happened. It was, and I said, yeah, but this experience is the most unique experience. I think it'd be great to watch him just play some songs with some guys and it sounds good and we'd all be like, that was cool, but this is nuts, you know. It's like, this is crazy and very unique and very interesting, and it's a story that we all walk away telling. And every time I see, you know, guys from that night, it's kind of like, wasn't that crazy, you know? And I think that's almost better than just witnessing a straight up rock and roll show, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a blabbermouth headline and immediately, and so that kind of lives on. But this event's going to be awesome because you guys are doing Alive 3, the whole thing. It's closing out the event on Saturday the 14th. I'm very jealous of this. I'm going to try my best to get there because I'll be honest, the most fun I've had at a show, Todd, and I told you this last time, I'll reiterate it now, was New Year's Eve 2021 at Counts of Amped. You, yeah. Bruce, Zach, and Eric Singer, who just some guest drummer off the streets came in that night.
Yeah, some hack we found. Yeah.
Just, I mean, you made it through it, okay, but what a night, I brought my girlfriend who is, you know, like surface level Kiss fan, but like I got her into a lot of the 80s stuff and Revenge and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
This Alive 3 thing is going to be awesome. And this event looks like it's going to be great. Chris Jericho and his band Quarantine, they're a blast. Yeah. All the guys, I mean, this is going to be great. Ace himself is going to be there. So this is going to be a fun event, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about it. When I signed on, I know Bruce wasn't really involved. It was just kind of like, you know, when someone approaches you and goes, we're doing a cancer charity. I'm like, of course I'll be involved. I'll do whatever I can, you know, and it slowly grew into, not only am I doing Saturday, I'm doing Kiss Alive 3 in its entirety, but on Friday I'm doing Lick It Up in its entirety with a bunch of other dudes, you know, these guitar player from Quarantine, and you know, it's going to be nuts. It's like, and it's the kind of stuff that, you know, I'm such a sucker for it, because I'm like, I love it so much that it's kind of like, have you ever considered doing Lick It Up in its entirety? And I go, and I stop and I think to myself, okay, give me more, $1,000,000 to 1. I go, that'd be awesome. I go, let's do that. and then when Bruce gets involved, it's like Kiss Alive 3. I go, well, we've already done every single song from Kiss Alive 3 in some fashion or another. I'm like, of course, let's do that, you know? And the big point is, you know, is being a part of a charity and hoping to, you know, attract attention to the cause and hopefully raise as sure. much money as possible and make some kind of difference. You know, it's crazy to think that, that's, it would be nice one day to be like, we don't need to do this charity anymore because all these problems have been solved, but you know, we're not there yet, not sure. by a long shot. So, you know, it's like, I'm happy to do what I can.
Well, excuse me a little bit about me. I think I might be the only person that can say this. I'm sure there's someone that could come out and say this, but Alive 3 is the first Kiss album that I ever bought.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, for one, I'm 39 years old. So, you know, I had to.
Yeah.
I
yeah,
was, I was a,
yeah.
I'm behind a little bit, yeah. just no, by no fault of my own. But I remember going to the.
It's your parents' fault. I think.
I know. Yeah. I just. I mean, I got some grays in the beard. The hair is going. I have all the markings of someone that's yeah. like in their 50s right. and live this. But I went to the CD store, CD warehouse back then, and I was like looking at all of them. I was like, God, I looked at it. And I was like, you know, like this out. This has like a lot of hits on it, and it's live. So you got it's kind of a greatest hits. But then you've got okay, I know some of these 80s songs and. This is a good all-encompassing place for me to really start here.
Yeah.
And it was. And it's a great, I think it's as good as any live album Kiss did. You know, Alive 1 is iconic and you can't really top it.
Yeah,
I like it better than Alive 2. I hesitate to say that out loud and in public, but I've just done it.
Well, you've just done it. You've outed yourself. I mean, it's hard for me because of course I experienced in real time. I would have come in somewhere around Kiss Alive 1. In reality, I mean, I wouldn't have started buying Kiss records until 1978 because, you know, I was, you know, I'm older
right.
than you, but
right.
I was still a child, you know. And so for us, it was awesome. My brother and I would go down every weekend, combine our allowance and buy a record, you know. And it was like, so in 1978, it was before, yeah, because Dynasty wasn't out yet. So we would kind of like, you know, we had all four solo albums. We had Love Gun, Rock and Roll Over, Destroyer, Kiss Alive 1, Dressed to Kill,
Love Gun,
Hotter Than Hell, and then the first album. And then the originals, like the you know, all those kind of things. There was so much music to...
Double Platinum, my favorite.
Double Platinum, all that stuff to digest. So by the time Kiss Alive 2, you know, when you get into like Kiss Alive 3, for me, it's like I'm well invested. I've
sure.
seen... The first time I saw Kiss was with Bruce, like with Bruce Kulick playing guitar. I was like, you know, they was on the Animalize tour. So, you know, I never got a chance to see the original wave of makeup Kiss because I was too young. And
was that the Dawkins show that opened?
That was Dawkins.
Yeah.
That was Dawkins. That was Dawkins.
84?
84, yeah, exactly. And
wow.
So Dawkins and all my friends saw Queensryche. I think Queensryche started like the next night or something like that on that same tour. But I saw Dawkins. And it was a perfect night. I remember Gene standing on the side of the stage during Dawkins' set in a long leather coat like this, and the crowd started chanting Gene's name in the middle of a Dawkins set. And I thought, this is pretty rad. You know, it was like I have arrived at a Kiss show. But Kiss Alive 3 is what it does work as is such a great overview of that particular moment in time.
Yes.
You know, and almost works as a collection of great songs. And then you get the live versions of, you know, I mean, to keep in mind that Animalize Live Uncensored we always sort of, I mean, we listened to the hell out of that, watched the hell out of that movie.
I love the video.
Chill. Yeah. So that in a lot of ways to me felt like a live album too, you know? But you know,
it's
you're
so
getting
fast. They played everything so fast. It's amazing.
Very fast. Yeah. And well, I guess that's sort of the Eric Carr, era live, yep. You know, and then you get Eric Singer's era is sort of a lot more aggressive in a way. Like they definitely kind of leaned into, you know, the slightly darker kind of thing that Revenge kind of brought. And, you know, that was a great era. I mean, that Revenge and all that was such a great, period of that particular lineup. So when Zach and I were playing at New Year's with half of the Revenge era Kiss, it was pretty sweet. Yeah, we were pretty excited about
God, it. God, I relived that moment quite a bit. That was amazing. Is there a more fun song to sing? No, and this all encompassing, whether it be Raiding the Rock Vault, all the hits that built a rock and roll in the entire world. But is there a more fun to sing than when you start I Just Want to Forget You? it's a vocal.
Yeah.
I got a body built for sin. Yeah. Sorry, I should never have done that. But you get
You nailed it.
You get it.
That is a classic. And the best part of that song is it's just so all-encompassing. You know, it's one of the songs, although most of the Kiss songs are kind of like that. Everybody sings every word. You know, everybody just jumps in and gets involved from the get-go. And it's such a sing-along chorus, as you know. That's a fun one indeed, for sure.
Well, so much coming up for you. I want to make sure, because you have some Tuke dates as well coming up in November, right? So you have a new single coming out and some shows coming up. So
yep, we go out. I always giggle because I'm kind of like, we always find a chance to go up to Canada at the coldest possible moment.
Yeah, I noticed that. November.
We'll be running across the prairies, the Midwest, from mid-November to for about six shows, I think it is. We do, you know, all the way through the prairies. Is where I grew up and where we all grew up is our old stomping ground. So it'll be really fun. And all of my youth and all of my early days of playing music were spent in that part of the world. So it's really fun for us to get to go up there and see all the old faces and really celebrate Canadian rock and roll. And that's essentially what that show is just a gigantic Canadian party.
Does that mean Kick Axe is opening?
I wish. Are you kidding? We would open for them.
I love Kick Axe.
We were all obsessed with Kick Axe. Trust me. It was like, and those guys were a big deal. They, at the time, I remember they went out and they were opening for Judas Priest on the Screaming, or maybe it was Defenders of the Faith. I can't remember. But that was such a big deal for some guys from Saskatchewan are going to be out opening for Judas Priest. It was like, what? It's like, but deservedly so. Because if any of the viewers are aware of the Vices album and the Welcome to the Club album, they will realize, well, and Rock the World, those three albums were so damn good. And I highly recommend them to anybody who likes loud rock and roll.
Well, we might just have stumbled upon a business venture here. You do Kiss Alive. Maybe you should do a best of Canadian 80s metal tour where you do like Anvil, where you do Street Heart and Kick Axe.
Maybe Helix.
See?
Yeah, it's Triumph. It's an endless, that's a rabbit hole you want to be careful of. It's funny because guys like Chris Jericho and you know, he's Canadian as well, and he's very well invested in all that stuff. Kick Axe and Street Heart and those bands are our favorite bands because they come from our neck of the woods. And I think it was sort of a real sort of window into what you could possibly, it's one thing to be like, I love the Rolling Stones or I love Kiss or whatever, but places like London and New York City just seem, they may as well have been Mars, you know what I mean? But when you say this band is from here and they're doing stuff, it makes you kind of go, well, I want to do stuff. How do I do stuff, you know? And that sort of opens up that door to kind of, let's go do that stuff, you know?
Well, Todd, thank you again for your time. It's always such a pleasure and continued success, my friend. I want to make sure everybody once again is aware. Blackbird Angels, we're going to say Soul Sorte is out September 8th. So definitely get it. You will not be disappointed if you're a fan of 70s rock, rock and roll, Todd's vocals, Tracy's guitar playing. It's all there and it's all prevalent and it's all great stuff. Todd, thank you so much once again. And good luck in Canada in November. Hopefully you make it out of there.
Yeah, exactly. Hope I don't freeze to death. Yeah,
exactly.
No, I grew up in that stuff. It's like riding a bike. It comes back real fast. You know, you go, oh, here it is. Yeah. Jacket.
Chains on the tires. Boom. You'll be fine. Thank you so
Chains
much, Todd.
Chains on the tires.
We'll
Thank you.
Soon,
hope to
friend.
See you out there somewhere, man.
You bet. Will do.